I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You generally know your own life story, but a few generations back in your family, how clear is it? Do you know where the people you came from? The popularity of genetic tests and genealogy websites point out how popular it is for people to trace their roots. The Rogue Valley Genealogical Society helps people in that process out of a library north of Phoenix. Let's talk about the Society's work and an open house coming up on Saturday this weekend. Three guests join us. On the phone, we have Kim Thurman, the treasurer and past president of the Rogue Valley Genealogical Society. Hi, Kim.
Hi, dear.
Good to have you here. We also have with us in the studio, Ann Barriker, the volunteer coordinator for Rogue Valley Genealogical Society. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
And Mary Robsman is with us as well, a librarian at the Rogue Valley Genealogical Society. Good to have you all here. Kim Thurman, the Society has been around for a while, even before you settled into the current digs, that old restaurant north of Phoenix. Talk about the main mission and the creation of the Rogue Valley Genealogical Society.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Jeffrey. We've been around since 1966, so this is our 58th year in existence. Our membership has grown to over 650 members, and our mission is to help spread knowledge of genealogical studies and get people active in researching their family. Now, most genealogical societies, you mentioned our facility over on South Pacific Highway, it's at 3405, and the Old Mexican Restaurant, as you said. Most societies have collections that they'll get together with the members that contribute, and they'll work with their local libraries and organizations to house their materials. But we've been fortunate enough that we've had strong member support in order to be able to own our own library facility. And this is the second one that we've owned outright. We used to be located in Phoenix before moving to this facility in 2012.
And so what's in that library?
So we have over 26,000 cataloged materials in the collection, which this consists of books, periodicals, microfilm. And in fact, we actually inherited the microfilm collection of the Oregonian that used to be housed at the Medford Jackson County Library, and maps as well as CDs. We also have a very strong local collection, including a cemetery project that we have worked on to document a number of the cemeteries that are in our county. And one of the most common misperceptions I have when I speak to people about the library is they said, oh, I have seen your facility over on the highway. We have a great sign. But I don't have anybody here locally, so I figured there was nothing there for me. And so I usually try to let everybody know that we do have resources from across the U.S. as well as globally to study your family. You don't have to have a connection to Jackson County in order to use our library.
Ah, really important thing to note. I appreciate that. Ann Barriker, there are so many websites out there now that can help people find relatives. What kinds of records or expertise or access to things online can you do at RVGS that some people can't at home, for example?
Well, we have a large selection of websites that we purchase access to, and our librarians, our volunteer librarians, which are all of us, we are there and we've been trained to help people maneuver through not only our collection but also our different websites. Like, you can come in the library, you can use Ancestry, the big one. You can use that website, and you can't do that from home unless you have a paid subscription. If you come in and you're either a member or you purchase a day pass for $5, you can come in and you can use Ancestry. We have Family Search. We have Find My Past, which is a British Ireland website, we have several others. We have probably, I would say, at least 10 different websites that you can use, and our librarians are there to walk you through it and help you figure out what you can find, and there's so much out there.
I paid the day pass rate once and was just surprised at how much more material there was versus what I had on my own piddly access from home. It was kind of like, you know, drinking from a teacup and then having a fire hose turned on me.
And when you realize that most of the information out there is not online, and I know for me, I found my 3 times great-grandparents' marriage record in a book in the library. I was like, what the heck? I had no idea. I just was like perusing, church records from New York for randomness. And mm-hmm. And I found their record in there and their date and where they lived and a lot of information. And then I was able to find their children's baptismal record also.
Wow, that's so amazing. In a book.
In a book mm-hmm. in our library.
Well, Ann Barriker, Mary Robsman, Kim Thurman from the Rogue Valley Genealogical Society, our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. If you want to get a quick question in about searching for family history, join us with an email to jx@jeffnet.org. So the stuff that is not available, not digitized thus far, Mary Robsman, I understand you're doing a lot of this yourself at the library.
Digitizing is only one aspect of what we do behind the scenes there. But the idea of, I do want to promote that we're not just a bunch of books and a bunch of records, that our genealogy library is a meeting place for special interest groups. We have people that meet, like Daughters of the American Revolution and Sons of the American Revolution, and even the quilters come into our society and they meet, because we do have all of the records and things that can be used for their research, for their special interests. We even have German interest groups, Irish interest groups, that you can come in like a support system, learn a few things in our classes that are offered. So our library is not just digitized online, but it's the people connection that can be done at the library. And I'd like to point out that's why we're having an ice cream social.
All right, so that is on Saturday, this Saturday starting at 11, ending at 3, Ice Cream Social and Open House with a theme. What is the theme, Mary?
Well, our theme is called Chasing Freedom. We thought that was timely. It fit in with our genealogy, immigrants, and history, as well as July is the patriotic month if you celebrate 4th of July, or even Bastille Day if you have French, you know, relatives. The idea that it's a hot time and a nice ice cream social would be a good reason to get together. And again, whether you're a member of the society and just coming in to see everybody else, we volunteers come in and do a library shift, or we come in and do our own research, or come to a class, but not everybody gets together all the time. And we've had miserable construction on 99 that I think has kept a few people away. So this is an opportunity to get together, as well as all those people that Kim mentioned going down the highway that look at the sign and say, gee, I've never been in there before. Now's the time to stop in on a hot day, meet like-minded people, find out what we have at the library. Like I said, more than just books and things that you can find digitized, but the community of getting together for people that are interested in studying their family history. And you mentioned DNA, or studying genetics, actually. We do have an interest group for DNA, but we don't do any DNA kind of stuff. But all of it fits in to what you can find at a library.
Kim Thurman, take us back to square one here. And let me note again, with Mary's help, that it does say Rogue Valley Genealogical Society, but it's not just about the genealogy of people living in the Rogue Valley now, or even in the past, for that matter. So to the main point, though, Kim, I mean, I've noticed that within my own family, different levels of interest in tracing ancestors. I mean, some people, but other people really get excited about this.
Yeah, so that's very true. It's even true in my own family. I've had, when I sat down with my last living grandparent to try to interview him about information on his family, the first question out of his mouth was, why do you care? So it does differ within different family members, but it can span even down to the young set. We had, last month, we had a young man who was 13 come into the library with his grandparents. And it was the grandson that actually expressed interest to stop in there, because he had an interest in history. And that is one thing that I do like to kind of promote, as far as if you have an interest in just historical events in general, getting into your genealogical history is actually very interesting, because you can find personalized ways to tie your family into historical events. Nothing thrilled me more than to find that I had a third great grandfather that served in the Civil War and served and survived it after 3.5 years, finding out I had a Mayflower connection. In fact, I have 5. So when you find those things, I think it just definitely personalizes history. And when I have shared that information, when I've written it up and shared it with my family, I have found that that has been a really great way to get them engaged.
Yeah, I found some of the same stuff myself. Kim Thurman, Ann Barriker, Mary Robsman, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, officers of the Rogue Valley Genealogical Society, having an open house and ice cream social on Saturday starting at 11 about Chasing Freedom, Our Ancestors' Search for Life, Liberty, and Happiness, since You know, so many of us came from, or our families came from other places. Now, why does it seem, Anne, that some branches of a family have records going back many generations, and some you can barely find the names of your great-grandparents?
It so much has to do with different things like, did they even make records? I know in some countries, people who were persecuted for religious reasons, they didn't keep records. Because they needed, or if they did, they hid them, and then they were lost to time. They didn't. So there were many reasons that you didn't have them, and some countries, as a rule, just kept better records. Germans kept great records. You know, the Lutheran Church has tremendous records back hundreds of years. The Catholic Church actually does. They're a little bit tighter, I think, in some countries. The Catholic records are a little bit more difficult to come by. But other religious records will go back hundreds of years. If you can find them, you're in great shape. Civil records, a little bit tougher. And in the United States, because we're united but individual states, each state had different rules on when you needed to register a birth. Some didn't do it until the early 1900s. That makes it tougher. You have to find the church records. And then so in that respect, you have to look outside the box. Family Search is a great site for finding those because they've gone around the world, all the continents, and made copies of religious records and civil records. And so we can certainly – but – at a lot of those, you have to get on your computer and physically go through the records. It's like sitting and looking through a book, only it's online. We can help people figure out how to look through Family Search and do research. So,
Mary Robsman, it seems like, I'm not sure if it came from this society or some other, but the conversation about people hitting a brick wall when it comes, particularly with Ireland, Riley. Looking for records. What are some of the issues that happen there?
Well, I'm not the person to ask about the Irish, mm-hmm. considering I'm 100% German from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. But the idea of, we have a list of websites, like the Irish website, and you could probably answer this question much better than I. But, you know, as she mentioned, it's hard to find some of these records because of wars and changing boundaries, not within the United States and over in Europe. But it is out there because people have been interested. The English and the Irish, we have a whole section of dating back because of the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolutionary Group. They want to trace their records back. They have everything documented back to Mayflower and the sailing ships coming across the ocean that actually some of them came when we were still British colonies. Those kind of records are available. The Irish, we have a marvelous book called I can't remember the name of it. I'm a librarian. I can tell you it's a nice fat book that's over in the section.
You can tell me where it is. But
yeah, exactly. Tell you what it looks like. But it was advertisements that were placed in the Boston newspaper for all the Irish immigrants that came over, crowded on these, they called them coffin ships because they were just replaced cargo to keep the company not having an empty ship to come over and then take back all the good resources of the New World. But these Irish lost contact with their people, and even the people from Ireland would put these notices in, tell me, notify me if so-and-so, you know anything mm-hmm. about this person. And sometimes they give great genealogical things, because you had a lot of Rileys, for instance, and they would say, Thomas Riley from Cork, who mm-hmm. married so-and-so, came in 1847. Please contact so-and-so. Those kind of resources that are available. We can give you a million.
All right. Rogue Valley Genealogical Society, always in business and having the ice cream social and open house, free to the public, Saturday, July 20th, 11 to 3, at the Society at 3405 South Pacific Highway, north of Phoenix. Kim Thurman, Ann Barricker, Mary Robsman, thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Can we quickly say thank you to DAR? And they're coming and going to be there if you'd like to look up your ancestors.
All right. Thank you much. That'll do for today's exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Mike Green. Have a great day.